Malachi chapter number 1, verse number 7. Bible says, "Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means, will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it! And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." Let's pray, and we'll get into the lesson this morning. Father, I do thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for these good folks and just their faithfulness and being able to look out and see the same people here every Sunday morning. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to reach out to others, help us to be willing to invite others to church and share the gospel with other people, Lord. Help all the other Sunday school classes that are going on and all the children and that are being taught your word and truths from your word. Lord, help us as we look at this real simple thought this morning, the simple subject. And I pray, Lord, that you just bless us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. First, we talked about the love of God, if you remember in Malachi chapter 1, the first part, and then we talked about honoring God. And then in verse number 7 through the end of the chapter, God basically goes to the children of Israel and he says, all right, you guys have basically, you're offering sacrifices to me, but you're saying it's polluted. You don't, basically, all the respect that you've had for the sacrifices is gone. You have no, maybe you do it, but it's just a ritual. It's just something that you do without really any serious thought into it, if you would. Okay? Any serious contemplation about what you're doing. Now, I can sometimes sympathize on the children of Israel. And we're all this way. We're creatures of habit, aren't we? And what we do is we get into something, you know, we all sit in the same place, you know, at church. In fact, you get upset if somebody sits in your seat at church. Like, oh, I got to find a different seat. You know, you're all flustered on Sunday morning because you know, somebody sat in your seat. So you got to find a new seat. Well, we're creatures of habit. And, you know, as a Sunday school teacher, you could be teaching for years. And it becomes just habit. It becomes commonplace to you. And, you know, a lot of times, and we got to be careful, and this isn't the main truth that we're going to pull out of this tonight or this morning, but we got to be careful, and I'm this way. You know, for me, doing children's church, sometimes it was like, you almost got into a habit of doing the same thing over and over and over again. And then, you know, every once in a while, it's like the Holy Spirit talked to you and say, hey, you know, when was the last time you done something for the first time? When was the last time you mixed it up a little bit? And you think, okay, well, I need to do that. And you go in and, man, it's not that you're teaching anything different. You're still teaching the Bible. It's not that you're, you know, singing really any different songs than what you're supposed to be singing, but you go in and it seems like the kids just respond to it and they just come to life and it's something new, it's something exciting. Well, can you imagine for the children of Israel, how long have they been doing sacrifices? All the time. They're constantly, I mean, killing animals and burning them and having sacrifices. I do a lot of butchering. It's a messy job. It's something, and it was taking their livestock, okay? And it's taking their things. And so can you imagine, you know, okay, at some point, this is kind of getting mundane to them. And they've forgotten what the purpose of these sacrifices are. And it's just a symbol of what is to come, of the perfect lamb that is to come. So we see that first is that God is basically rebuking them for having a mundane, a lackadaisical attitude about the sacrifices. All right? And then this is what we're really going to talk about. That was the first thing that God kind of shows here. And then this is what we're really going to talk about. And let's look at verse number 8, if you would, with me this morning. The Bible says, "Then if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil?" And then he says, "Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" All right, now look at verse number 14. Or 13, I'm sorry, verse number 13. The Bible says, "He said also, behold, what a weariness is it." And that's what I was talking about just a minute ago. "And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." So not only are the Israelites, they're kind of getting bored with it, but then they're thinking, okay, well, we're going to kill this animal anyway. So they're taking the coals out. They're culling their flocks out, and they're taking, you know, a lamb that's got a broken leg. Well, I'm going to kill it anyway on a sacrifice. Why don't I just take the one that's probably going to die, and I'll just take it in? Isn't that so much like us as human? I'm that way. It cracks me up, and preacher, he gets aggravated about it sometimes. And I know sometimes it's people that give, it's the widow's mite situation. But preacher will ask for, we've done it several times, he'll ask for 50 things to give away. All right? And inevitably, you know, somebody brings in, you know, a bicycle. Okay, he wants 5 new kids' bicycles to give away. Inevitably, somebody will bring in an old junk bicycle that, you know, it doesn't look too bad, but it's not a new bicycle to give away. Now, it doesn't look terrible. And I'm not saying, you know, if that's what you got to give, and there's probably maybe somebody. But on the other hand, sometimes you know somebody that gave it. And I'm this way. It's like, man, my kids could really use a new bicycle. What if I just buy my kids a new bicycle and give them the one that's used, you know? It's too small for them anyway. But that's not what it's about. It's about giving your best to God. And this is what the Israelites are doing. They're taking a lamb that's got a broken leg or it's spotted or it's blind, it can't see, and they're thinking, well, I ain't going to need this anyway. I'll just give that to God. And so they take it over and they offer it for a sacrifice. But remember, what were the sacrifices? It was a picture of what? Of what was to come, of the lamb that was to come. So in a way, they're saying that Jesus Christ, by offering this sacrifice that's lame or polluted, they're saying that Jesus Christ had sin in essence. Because what did God want? He wanted a sacrifice that was without spot and without blemish, because that sacrifice was a picture of Jesus Christ that was to come. So now these people are bringing these lambs that are, you know, they're torn or they're spotted or they're lame or they're blind. And God's like, I don't want that. Is that all that my son is to you? Is a representation of this lamb? I don't want that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Verse number 1, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse number 1. Bible says, "Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Go over to chapter 15. If you're in Schofield, right across the page. Chapter 15, verse number 19. "All the firstling males that come of thy herd and of thy flock thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt eat it within thy gates. The unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike, as the roebuck and as the hart. Only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof, thou shalt pour it upon the ground as water. Remember, folks, this is a representation of Jesus Christ that was come. We're getting ready, and if you jumped into verses and chapters weren't actually inspired, okay? So if you looked at verse number 1 of chapter 16, they're going into the Passover. That's why God's talking about eating the animal here, because he's going into the Passover here, okay? But there again, you see very plainly, God says, hey, I don't want your junk, okay? I want the good stuff, all right? Is that all that you're worth, I'm worth to you is, oh, here, God, here's this. You can have that. That's all, you know, I'm not going to use it anyway. I'll give that to you, all right? Is that what God's worth to us? And that's what God is saying in Malachi. And he was pretty much fed up with them. And everybody knows, if we get to Malachi, it talks about tithing later on. And everybody's like, oh, Brother Chaz. Well, this whole book is in a way talking about your gift to God and what you're giving to God. So we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 1, and Deuteronomy chapter 15, that God wants the best. God wants the best. Now, in verse number 19, the Bible says, all the firstling males that come out of thy herd and of thy flock thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord. And I still remember Pastor Ross, when he was talking about tithing, I was just a young man sitting up here on the front row, and he had 10 of us boys that were all sitting up here on the front row. Now, I think it was a Wednesday night or something, and he had a stick. And I still remember he had all of us boys line up over here, and he would count. And actually, I think there's only 5 of us, because some of us had to go through like twice to make up 10. But he would count. And this is what he said that they did. And I still remember this picture. But they would run all their animals through and count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But you know that first one? When he tapped that first one of the 10 went over to a separate pen. He kept the 9. Next 10. So number 11. 1, 2, 3, 4. That 11th one went to the pen. The other 9 went to his corral. Now, isn't God generous? All that God asks is the first one. He just wants the first one. You know, you could have a cow, honestly, what the Bible says is the first one. You could have a cow that has, or a sheep that has however many, and God said, I want the first one. It could have 9 more and you can keep it. Now, if it has 11, according to the Bible, you still got to give that 11th one, because it's a 10th at that point. But God still wanted the first one. Now, I think that's pretty generous. God just says, just give me one and you can have everything else. But I still remember that. And I don't remember if I was the one that got hit with the stick or not, but he was tapping us boys as we went through there. And he'd have some of us go over here and some of us go over there. And he was teaching about tithing. And I still remember that. And you know, we're that way, but you know, sometimes we don't want to give God. Sometimes you get, when you've got more month than you've got money, all right? That's most of my months, okay? And you're not sure, and sometimes it's like, man, 10% or plus if you're willing to give God more. I don't, in my budget, I don't see how this is going to work. I don't see how it's going to work. But God says, I don't care if you see how it's going to work. Trust me, give me that first one, all right? Say, Bro Chad, why don't we want to give God the first one? Well, there's several reasons. Probably the primary one is because it's going to cost us too much. I can see those Israelites going out to their flocks, and they've got, you know, 5 lame, all right? And they've got a whole flock of them that are really good. And they think, man, that's a really pretty sheep. That's a beautiful lamb. It's the best lamb of the year. But it's his first one. I don't want to give that lamb up. That's got good breeding stock. All right? I worked with a guy that he raised cows and he breeds them. He AIs his cows from bulls all over the nation. And if he's got a good calf, he doesn't want to give that calf up. He'll put that calf in a special spot to protect. That calf's worth thousands of dollars, literally. If it will breed right, that calf is worth thousands of dollars. Where you can have one that, to me, I don't see the qualities in it like he does. but it looks the same. Like, I don't. But he knows that it's not the same, got the same qualities. You know, and he'll sell that one to me for cheap. I can't afford those other ones. It's like, no way. But he'll give that one away pretty cheap. But it's not the same. It doesn't have the same quality. And I can see that shepherd going out there to his flock. Man, I really don't want to give that up. But God said that's the first one. I got this other one over here. It's kind of lame. But it looks pretty good, but it's lame. Or it looks good, but it's blind. I'll give that one to God. Do you think God doesn't know that lamb's lame? Do you think God doesn't know that lamb is blind? And so he's wanting to give this lamb to God that's blind, or this bullock to God that's blind. So, Brother Chad, why don't we want to give? It costs us too much. That's just a human, and I'm not, that's me too. We don't want to give God something because it costs us too much. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to look at a couple stories this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse number 8. Very familiar story. Both of these stories are very familiar this morning. 1 Kings 17 verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, this is talking about Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So good so far, because in verse number 11, it says, And as she was going to fetch it, okay, so first of all, this wasn't something that was going to cost her a whole lot. So far, Elijah never asked anything that's going to cost this lady very much. So I just want a drink of water. Well, water's free. Water's easy to get. So she's like, okay, I'll get you a drink of water. So she goes to get a drink of water. But in verse number 11, And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Here's the sacrifice part. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. What did God ask of this widow lady? Give me first. Give it to me first. What if she would have said, well, let me cook something for me and my son. Let me pay my bills first, if you would, and you can have what's left over. That barrel of meal would have lasted one meal, and she would have been done. That's all she had. But when she gave God first, the best that she had, everything, if you would, that she could have, and said, I'm trusting the prophet that he promised that the barrel, because he promised before she gave it to him. I'm trusting that God said that he would provide for me. And you know what, folks? God's promised that he'll provide for you. God's promised that he'll provide for me. But God also said, I want the first part. Give me the first, give me the best, and you can have the rest. All right? And we see that in the story of Elijah and the widow. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over, and above unto them that had eaten. That's a pretty amazing story. Now, I picture in my mind this little boy. I mean, he's pumped. He's going to go see Jesus, all right? We'll call him Henry or whatever, all right? So Henry's super excited, and he is, I mean, ecstatic because he's heard about how Jesus healed all these people, and he's heard about how the lepers are clean and the lame are walking and the mute are speaking and the deaf they can hear. And man, he's excited because he can't, it's kind of like it's like the traveling circus to him. I mean, literally, can you imagine what these little kids are like? I mean, they don't go see a circus. They're going to go see Jesus, heal somebody. I mean, that's even better than the circus. So he's really excited about this, and he's getting ready to go, and his mom said, Henry, did you take a lunch? No, Mom, I can't. I got to go. No, Henry, just wait just a few minutes. So his mom packs him a little lunch, and I don't know. Maybe they had a lot. Maybe they didn't have very much. But for Henry, that was what he had. That was Henry's meal. And Henry took his 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes, and he gathered them all up, and he threw them in a bag, and he's like, Mom, I got to go. I got to. It's kind of like me when I get up late, and it's like my wife's trying to, she's like, do you want to take a lunch? I was like, oh, I'm running late. I got to go. I'm like, here, take your lunch. And like, I don't want to take it at 8 o'clock in the morning, but about 12, I'm thinking, man, I'm really glad I took my lunch with me today. And, that's the way he is. He don't think about 12 o'clock. He's just thinking about, 8 o'clock, and he's supposed to be there at 8:10. And he's hurrying, and he finally catches up with everybody, and they take this big, long hike up on top of a mountain. And he gets up there, and, he just, everything that Jesus does, he's just standing right there watching. He's super excited, and finally, it starts to get on during the day, and everybody starts talking one to another. It's like, hey, did you bring some food? No, I forgot my cooler at home. Hey, did you bring anything to drink? No, I didn't bring anything. And they're all kind of, you can start hearing the murmur go through the crowd, all right? It's kind of like guys when they all get together and they've been working hard, and then somebody mentions food of some kind. And then pretty soon everybody's talking about food. And it's like, ugh. And then you get more hungry and more. And everybody's, at this point, is really hungry. And Jesus knows that they're getting hungry. And he sees that none of them came prepared for this hike that they basically took up on top of this mountain. So he asked Philip, he said, Philip, where are we going to buy bread at? Where are we going to get some food? And Philip, he's thinking of all the, camel stations that they pass and everything like that on the way in. And he's like, nobody's got enough food at any of these little rinky-dink stores or whatever. Who's going to have enough food? And who's got the money to buy food? Remember, this is 5,000 men. Now, I've heard everybody say that's just men. That's not including women and children. So there's a lot of people here. And they're like, where are we going to get all this food? And, of course, Henry, he's just standing there. To him, because he doesn't have a need at this point, I don't think Henry's even thinking about food. Because he knows that he has the food for him and only for him. So he's standing there, oh, man, I got food. And he's just listening to Jesus. And one of the disciples comes up to him and said, hey, young man, what's your name? He's like, hey, it's Henry. And he knows this disciple. He's seen him with Jesus, and he's kind of like, oh man, what do I say? He's like, I see you got some food there. Henry's like, yeah, my mom packed it. It's 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And he's like, your mom must really love you and take good. He's like, yeah, she made me bring it. I didn't think I was gonna need it, but I'm thinking I'm gonna eat here pretty soon. And Andrew said, hey Henry, if Jesus would want your food, would you give it to Jesus? Well, yeah, I'd give it to Jesus. Remember, a childlike faith. He didn't think, I don't think for a minute that this boy, everybody says, oh, would you be the lad that, the Bible says he was a young boy. You can ask these kids, you could take their whole piggy bank. In fact, in children's church, you got to be careful. You tell the kids you're doing a big offering thing in children's church, and those kids will go home and they will clean out. I'm serious. They'll clean out their piggy bank. Now, you got to be careful because
you know, their mom and dads don't always, you know, sometimes they turn, it's kind of like the good and the evil, you know, they go steal from their mom and dad so they can give to the church, all right? And they're stealing dollars out of their mom and dad's wallet so they can give it to the offering in children's church. It's like, no, you can't steal. You got to ask, or you got to ask, or you got to work for it. But they will. And children don't have a problem giving you something for the most part, all right? If you really want something, they want to give it to you. They'll give you everything they got. And I think this way this young man was. And Andrew came up to him and said, "Hey, if Jesus asked you for your food, would you give it to him?" "Oh, absolutely. I'd give Jesus everything." Man, why can't we be that way? But I don't think Andrew necessarily asked him for his lunch at that point. So Andrew comes up to Jesus and says, "Jesus, I've got a young man here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes." And then you can tell Andrew's faith. He had some faith or he wouldn't have asked the boy. But then he's like, "But what are they among so many?" It's like, I know, God. Here's this boy here, and I found him. He's got a little bit of food, but it's not enough for everybody. And Jesus said, "Go make the people sit down." And then Jesus took those little bit of food. Remember, that was everything that young man had. That was his lunch. That was his first. That was the best that he had. And he gave it to Jesus. And because of that, Jesus was able to feed all those people. And I think Henry, I can just see him, because he knows where this food come from. Can you see him? You know how any little kid is. When they do something right, which sometimes is rare, all right? But when they do something that's right and actually out of the goodness of their, it's one of them things is you don't have to tell the kid to say thank you, where they just go up and do it themselves. You're like, "Oh, that's pretty good. Good job." Which rarely happens, so it's most of the time it's like, "Go tell them thank you," you know, that type of thing. But can you imagine, he's just standing up there, I mean, beaming. He's just seeing all his 5 little pieces of bread and those 2 fishes are given, handed out all over the place. And he's just super excited. And the Bible doesn't say what happened, but remember, they gathered 12 baskets, and there were 12 disciples. But I think, I don't know, we can surmise at this point, I guess, but I think this boy that gave everything to Jesus probably went home with 12 of Jesus' disciples following him. And can you imagine the smile on his face? He just busts in the, "Mom, you'll never believe what happened." He went to see everybody else get a blessing. And he decided he was going to be a blessing. And he got the biggest blessing of everybody. I don't know what they did with the 12 baskets. I would like to think that little boy probably took home at least one of them, if not all of those baskets of food. And he comes in, and what he gave to God, the little bit, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, God blessed him tremendously for that. So what are we giving to God? You know, sometimes we don't want to give God our resources because we think it's going to cost us too much. But we need to give God our resources. Am I giving God the best of my resources? Am I giving God the first, or am I waiting until all the bills are paid and then, well, let me see what I got left over here? Sometimes it's easy to do. You have to determine, though, when you get your paycheck, you know that this amount of money comes out of that. That goes to God first. Whatever I have left, that's what pays the bills. That's what pays the bills. You know what bills you got coming in. And you know, most of my life, we've been married, you know, I know that all the bills, they got to be paid by a certain date, but some of them got to be paid sooner and some of them got to be paid later. And I can't, when I get all my bills in the mail, I can't necessarily just say, "Oh, let's pay all the bills for this whole month right off the bat." You know, some of them, they got to wait until the end of the month to pay their bills. But you know what? God gets his first. God gets his first. But you know, God has never failed. As long as I'm a wise steward of what God gives me. Now, there's, again, you got to be a wise steward. I'm going to blow all my money on frivolous things. When God did give it to you, that's your fault, all right? My fault. But if we're wise stewards, God never has failed to provide all the money for all my bills. So give God the best of your resources. Give God the best of your time. Give God the best of your time. Do you just give God your leftover time? Well, I know we got a lot of stuff to do at church, and I know we got Sunday school to do, and or whatever your responsibility is, or I've got to do my bus visiting on such and such a day, and I got to work all day long, and I've got an hour left I can do all my bus visiting, or I've got to work all this week, and I've got, you know, 30 minutes I can go up to church and work on Saturday. Are you giving God your best, or are you giving God the leftovers? What are you giving God? What are you giving God? God said, I'd rather, if you go back to Malachi, remember how he said, would you shut the doors for naught, or would you kindle a fire on the altar for naught? God basically said, I'd rather you shut the doors of the temple and not let people sacrifice than give me your junk. That's what God said. Wonder what he thinks about, you know, well, I got 30 minutes. If I have to, I'll go give 30 minutes. You know, God wants a cheerful giver. He doesn't want somebody that's begrudgingly, oh, I guess I'm here. I guess I come to church and put in my hour or 2 hours every week. Is that what God wants? No. That's like offering God a lame lamb or a blind lamb. God wants your best. God wants my best. Hey, I'm guilty of this too. Sometimes where I'm so busy, it's like, man, the bus visiting thing. My Saturdays are just as busy as your Saturdays. I promise. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to say, well, I just got an hour to do visiting, or I got 2 hours to do my bus visiting on Saturday, when really I could use 3 to do it right and to go visit some extras. But sometimes I give God my leftovers. God doesn't want my leftovers. God wants my best, and I need to give God my best. All right? So what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your resources? Are you giving God the leftovers of your resources? Are you giving God the leftovers of your time? Or are you giving God the first, the best? All right? What about your life? Your life. Are you giving God the best of your life? And this kind of goes along with time, but more so. Or are you giving God the leftover part of your life? Well, I just can't do it anymore. I'm going to live my, and this is the way a lot of people are. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it, and then when I get older, I'll serve God. No. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I'm supposed to serve God with the best part of my life. The best part of my life. Now, God wants everybody's life. But wouldn't it be great if we had a bunch of young people, and I know this is a senior saints class, but they gave God the best part of their life, the strength of their life. So what are you giving God? Are you giving God the leftovers, or are you giving God the best? Does God have to dig through the fridge to find, you know, Sunday night? Traditionally, we never think about what we're going to eat Sunday night after church. It's just kind of let's go home and see what we got. You know, I hate that. I like going home and, you know, I know what we're eating, all right? I hate going home. What we got in the fridge? Oh, there's some spaghetti from last Tuesday. It's like, I think the dog needs some spaghetti from last Tuesday. He can have my leftovers. Like, I don't want, don't get me wrong, my wife, we eat leftovers, and I don't mind eating leftovers, and I think it's foolish to throw leftovers away. I do. I think it's wasteful. So I eat leftovers. But you know what? There's some meals that, you know, you cook like a... I think it's really bad for empty nesters. Maybe I'm wrong about this. But if you cooked for 6 people your whole life, and you still kind of got this mentality, I got to cook for 6 people or 8 people or whatever you got to cook for. So you cook this big old pot, and then it's like 2 people. So then dad's eating, you know, chili for 3 weeks. You know, he's like, oh, I'm sick of chili. Because mom made it for all of us. So I'm not picking on them. Not really. But, you know, that's the way it is. But, you know, sometimes it's nice. It's like, okay, I've had this meal for supper. It was really good the first time. Lasagna especially is really good the second time. I'd actually rather have leftover lasagna than lasagna the first time. Sorry, that's just getting into the food stuff. But I do. I'd rather have it. But then the third time, it's like, okay, I want something besides lasagna. All right? And you know what? God wants your first. God wants your best. And that's what he's saying to the children of Israel here. Hey, give me your best. Give me the first. So give God the best of your resources. Give God the best of your time. Give God the best of your life. Romans chapter 12, and we'll be done. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I'll just read it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Give God not the leftovers, but the best. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for, Lord, giving us your best, giving us your Son. Lord, I thank you for that. Help us to give back reciprocal to you, and help us to give our best of our time and our resources and our life. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.